Good evening, cybersecurity and cryptocurrency fans. You're listening to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is Monday, October the 15th of 2018. The year's flying by, and before you know it, it's going to be Christmas time. But Halloween's right around the corner, and just keeps going faster and faster every day, it seems like. But we got some interesting topics today. The plots are thickening on a lot of various subjects that we've touched on previously. So kind of on the agenda today, I found something that was kind of frightening. I'm going to talk about that. It's Bing for Business. So Microsoft has a new search functionality for business. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Also going to talk about Nest and how governments can request information from Nest about the things that have been recorded under your account. So that's kind of scary. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to touch on the county in Idaho that got hit with some ransomware. Let's see what else we have here for crypto news. We're going to talk about some of the Bitcoin price jumps that happened over the last couple of days, Tether, and also talking about crypto mining and some new rules that some states are trying to implement for businesses that do crypto mining. Also going to touch on a guy named Dr. Doom and what he thinks about altcoins in general and Ethereum. And last but not least, I think probably the coolest topic on here today, Microsoft is coming out with their own blockchain identification system. So, got a lot to get to, so we'll go ahead and kick things off here. We'll start with the Bing for Business topic in cybersecurity. And I'm kind of frightened at what I'm seeing with this product. You can go to bing.com/business/explore to look at it. But essentially, it's a database of everything in your business, including files, including people and resources. Everything is now searchable. And the reason I don't like this is because talk about a treasure trove if somebody gets it. And a few weeks ago, I reported on a website called theofficialboard.com that lists names and titles of various people at all kinds of different companies and how this information is just publicly available. So the Microsoft Bing search is not going to be publicly available, thankfully. However, it's still, to me, it's still very risky in general to allow this for everybody because who knows what could turn up on a search result if you searched for a particular file and it searches everything across your entire domain. It searches everything in OneDrive, everything in emails. So there's a lot of compliance-related issues I could see there, a lot of sensitivity-related issues, and permissions better be perfect in your environment or else somebody will search for something and find something they're not supposed to be looking at. So there's a lot of scary things here with this Bing search for business. So I'm not a huge fan of it. I understand what Microsoft is trying to do, but I think we have enough ways to search for files. We have enough ways to search for people. I'm not real sure how this solves any business problems, but you know, maybe that's just me and maybe it's just my opinion, but it seems like it's an unnecessary product that Microsoft is trying to push here lately. It does tie in with Office 365, so that's kind of what it's tied into. But regardless, I don't see the point of it at this juncture. Maybe down the road there will be more of a business case for something like this. But to me, it just spells trouble when, you know, an attacker takes over someone's account, you get a business email compromise on someone's Office 365 account, and then boom, they've got access to this Bing search for business, and they can find anything and everything that they want about your business. Files, emails, everything. So that to me is the really scary part of something like this, of a tool like this. But I understand what Microsoft's trying to do. I really do, but yikes. As we know, business email compromise happens all the damn time. And to see something like this and just think about the possibilities there of what a hacker could do if they got a hold of this information, oh my God, man, this is scary stuff. So check that out if you haven't seen that already. It's certainly interesting to read about it and see how Microsoft is trying to sell it. I'm not a huge fan so far, but maybe somebody else is. And maybe there's a better business case for it that I'm just not thinking of as well. If anybody can think of one, I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. If you want to hit me up on there and tell me what you think about this Bing search for business, I'd love to hear your thoughts, because right now I'm not a big fan of something like that. Just don't know what it solves. But on to the next topic here. Nest cameras can now be subpoenaed if needed for a lawsuit. Now, this is freaky, if you ask me, and I don't understand why they're allowing this to happen and why. I don't know. I guess I just don't understand the why of all of this and how this is legal to be able to subpoena somebody's cameras on their personal property. Essentially, they're saying that because it's stored in Google's cloud, that they can subpoena the information and yada, yada, yada. To me, that's just not okay. I don't understand how that's legal, but I'm also not an attorney, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't plan to be one or claim to be one. But man, it makes you rethink wanting to get some Nest cameras for your house, or at least it should make you think twice about it, especially if you're doing something illegal that you shouldn't be. If you're not, then you probably don't care too much, but it's certainly scary to think about that somebody can subpoena that information directly from Google and completely go around the end user of that product, and they can go straight to Google and get that information from Google directly. So that's the part about that I don't like. So one more reason not to store your recorded videos in the cloud, right? There you go. There's another great reason not to do that. Store them on site, I guess. I'm not even sure if Nest has that capability. I don't think it does, but maybe they'll build that in future versions of the software. But I think this is similar to, I'm also assuming that they can do this with Google Home or Amazon Alexa. Matter of fact, I think that they can. I've certainly seen some topics about it. I don't remember all the details right now, but I think it falls right in line with getting, you know, subpoenaing your Alexa devices directly from Amazon, or if you have a Google Home, doing that subpoena directly to Google. So very scary stuff. It also makes you think twice about what the Nest Cam is recording audio-wise, because it does do audio as well, so if it's recording video and audio, what might you say that would get you in trouble with the law? Or if you have this on in your house and you tell your wife what your password is to your bank account, and somebody hacks into your Nest account and watches these videos and listens to it and hears you saying what your password is for your bank account, that could also be dangerous. So there's a lot of what ifs there, but again, that's why two factor is good on everything that you do, especially if it's privacy related in any way, shape, or form. Turn on that two factor, but it can still be subpoenaed now from an attorney. They have to go directly to Google. But really makes you think twice about using those products now. But we all want to be safe. We all want to feel safe at home. We all want to have surveillance in case we need it at home. But all the what ifs there. The smart speakers apparently are also recording all the time, which are listening, as they say, all the time. They may not be technically recording. However, those devices can still be subpoenaed as well, and that could be kind of scary too. So makes you really think twice. And if you go ask your Alexa device if it's working with the CIA, typically you get no response. It's kind of funny. Funny and not funny all at the same time. But anyway, I'll post a link to that article if you want to check that out. Very scary stuff there for anybody that owns a Nest Cam. I'm guessing this will also be possible with any other of those cloud-based camera systems as well. So if you use any of those, I use Arlo, Netgear Arlo at my house, and this kind of stuff really makes me think twice. I'm still probably going to use it though, because makes us feel safer at home, but definitely scary stuff. Obviously, it could help you in a case too, now that I think about it. If you know you're trying to prove somebody did something or said something, it could help you win a case as well. So anyway, the next one was about the city in Idaho. I believe it was, or the county in Idaho. Madison County in Idaho got hit with some really nasty ransomware, and it encrypted all their stuff, of course. And we're seeing more and more and more of this happening to local communities, to government, local government agencies and whatnot, and counties and police departments and all kinds of other stuff. So it's still out there and it's still running rampant, ransomware being the biggest issue there. Really scary to see that happening, though, still. And even though it's still happening, people aren't putting enough protections in place to help try to prevent this stuff. To me, that's where the biggest disconnect is. You know, why are we not at least trying to prevent this as best we can, rather than waiting until the inevitable happens? But, you know, maybe this county in Idaho doesn't have the IT security staff that they need, or maybe they don't have the budget. So there's a lot of what-ifs there, but certainly sad to see that's continuing to happen. But anyway, we'll jump right over to cryptocurrency news. I think there was much more newsworthy stuff in crypto today. The price of Tether, which is one of the stable coins, it hit a all-time low. And Bitcoin, you actually saw a price jump in Bitcoin this morning. It has since gone back down. It's floating right around 6250-ish, Bitcoin is. And we dipped all the way down to 6,000-something. We were up at about 6,600, 6,700. So it took a pretty big hit, lost about $500 or $600. Then it made a huge jump this morning. It was back up to 7,500, 7,600. Now it's back down to 7,200. Again, right now. So interesting to see that price fluctuation. They're saying it's tied to the news about Tether and how Binance was going to delist Tether. It was just a rumor, though, apparently. Binance did not actually delist Tether, but there was some speculation that they were going to. There was also some news about Tether being not being backed by the U.S. dollar or by any currency, fiat currency, like it's supposed to be, like every stable coin is supposed to be. So people were starting to pull their money out of that, plus the news about Binance about to delist it, even though it was fake news, freaked everybody out. They sold off all their Tether, and that's why you saw the price increase again in Bitcoin back up to where it was this morning. But it did dip again, so I'm not sure what caused this latest dip in the Bitcoin stuff, but pretty interesting to see how that all plays out. Some other stuff here about crypto mining. If you do any sort of crypto mining, and you live anywhere near Pittsburgh, I believe it is, they're going to start rolling out tougher rules and restrictions and whatnot on electricity and prices for electricity if you're doing this kind of stuff, whether it's at a home or even for a for-profit business. They're going to start rolling out some price gouging, essentially, to, I think it's primarily to de-incentivize people to, you know, stop mining, essentially, because it'll be no longer profitable, which it's already there. It's already no longer profitable. But this just further, I think it takes it to the next level, and people are probably just going to shut off their gear and move on, especially if you're running it as a business and that your business model is to mine for crypto, which, by the way, I don't know how that's even working anymore with the price of Ethereum being where it's at right now and all the other altcoins that are not worth very much anymore. Now, last year, this would have been awesome to do, but this year, not so much. So if you live in Pittsburgh, watch out for that. They're going to start sanctioning people and price gouging you just because you're mining for crypto. Isn't that great? Yeah. Thanks, Pittsburgh. So I'll post the article as well for that, so you guys can check that out. The other stuff here about Dr. Doom. This is a guy he's one of the, I guess, figureheads of crypto, similar to like the Winklevoss twins, but this guy's always got a pretty heavy-handed opinion about everything. Essentially, the gist of the entire story was that he said that all of the altcoins, basically anything other than Bitcoin, is worth absolutely zero, and that Ethereum was a scam. I thought that was pretty funny. Ethereum is definitely not a scam, but this guy obviously thinks that he is. He's always got these ridiculous opinions about it all. Of course, Bitcoin is the big daddy. We all understand that, but it doesn't mean that Ethereum's a scam. Now, all the other altcoins being worth pretty much zero, okay, you know, I could see that, but what about Ripple? I mean, those guys are doing all kinds of great things. They're not worth a lot, but they're definitely not worth zero. But really, any cryptocurrency, if you think about it, is only worth what people are willing to pay for it, and that's what's in the market right now. What is the market cap of that particular crypto? So for him to say that they have zero value is completely inaccurate, because you look at the markets and you can see that all these coins have tons of market cap. They've got millions or billions of dollars in market cap for all these various coins, Ethereum being one of them. And the other biggest difference between Ethereum and Bitcoin is the smart contracts that Ethereum uses. Bitcoin does not use that. And that was the whole premise of Ethereum. So to say that it's a scam is kind of crazy and ridiculous. And maybe he's just trying to make news headlines, which he did a great job in that, but definitely not true in my opinion, at least. I don't understand why he would come out and say that. It's a different technology than Bitcoin. And some say it's a superior technology to Bitcoin. I'm not going to go so far as to say that, but I will say that it's certainly a different way to do blockchain. And this is what all the decentralized apps are being built on, is on Ethereum, at least right now. As I reported last week, they're going to start doing some ICOs and building on top of blockchain coming up. But we're still a few years away, but Ethereum has been the foundation for a lot of other great cryptocurrencies, EOS being one of them. That was one of the most successful. You know, that's just one I can think of off the top of my head. But there's so many that are built on the Ethereum blockchain. And to say that, you know, it's just a scam is quite ridiculous. But that's just my opinion, of course. But certainly interesting to see what that guy has to say, because he's one of the big wigs, I guess, of crypto. So finally, the last thing I wanted to touch on today was about Microsoft and their blockchain-based ID system. And I thought this was cool. There's been other people that have said they're going to do this. Microsoft is coming out and saying, we're going to do this, and it's going to be decentralized, just like it should be. And essentially, all of your, you know, private information, all your PII, will be stored in this identity system. And there will be what they called like a wallet type app on your phone where you can allow specific entities to gain access to that information, and you control who has access to that information through this little app, which I think is great for privacy concerns, only allowing specific companies to see your data, to see your personal information, and to be able to know that these are the only companies that can see it. Now, granted, we're a long way from, you know, getting everyone's information off the internet, first of all, because right now your information is stored at every third party on the planet that does a background check or a credit check on you. Your information is stored in their systems somewhere. And that's the biggest issue with identity theft, is there's all these breaches that happen, and, you know, who knows what this third party's controls are. They did a credit check on you, and your information's sitting on their servers that are unsecured. So that's certainly an issue, and Microsoft is trying to address it with their blockchain-based identity system, and I think it'll be great, but we also have to find a way to scrub all of our information off of the internet, scrub all of our information out of all these third-party services. And I think that is probably the biggest mountain to climb in this entire, you know, blockchain identity-based system. But I think it's certainly a step in the right direction. They have the right thought process there, the right ideas to get that going. So we'll see how that goes. I'm really excited to see what they do with it, excited to see what they come out with and how well it actually works. I would certainly sign up for it myself, but I thought that was really cool stuff. But all those third parties still have access to your information, so it's, as of right now, it really wouldn't do you much good. But if you started with, you know, let's say when you're very first born after this stuff has been created, that's when this could be helpful. But for the generations that are here right now, this kind of tech won't really help us right now. It'll help other generations that are being born as we speak. So, but that's all I had for today, folks. I wanted to keep it short and sweet. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34 on Twitter, at eEnglish34. You follow me on there. I retweet a bunch of the articles we talk about here on the show. All right, y'all. I appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk again soon.